Chris Paul says hi.
No!
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerry back with the shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty kids?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacer fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is May 3rd, 2015. This is episode 119, company from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're still just talking about the playoffs. A lot has happened in the last week. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First, from the nation's capital, land of the wizards, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Driplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? Wizards, looking good so far. Shout out to friends and family of friends in the city of Baltimore. Stay strong. Hope everybody's safe there.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Actually coming to you this week from Cicero, Indiana. Shout out to longtime listener D. Charles and letting me hang out with his family at the lake house. We're actually hoping to get maybe a guest appearance from him later. We'll see what happens.
And company from Seattle, Washington, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? I would like to shout out Comcast. The entire, apparently, West Coast was shut down last night, so I got to watch like the last 5 minutes of the game on my phone/computer. Other than that, it was shut down for the first half. Apparently, the fight overtook everything.
That's terrible.
So, thanks, Comcast.
Wow. That's crazy.
Shut down the internet, huh?
Yep, they broke it.
I'm sure they'll be sending you a refund check here soon.
Yeah, I'm expecting that shortly.
If you can take this week off, you could call customer support and maybe get somebody by Thursday.
I was gonna say Wednesday, but you might be right with Thursday.
Yeah.
So, Jason, what are you drinking out east this week?
Well, I'm partaking in a cherry blossom lager out of Old Dominion Brewery in Dover, Delaware. It's not clear to me that cherry blossoms actually have a flavor, but they just put cherries in the beer and make you think that that's what cherry blossoms taste like.
Fair enough.
It's decent. I mean, kind of fruity, but...
Yeah. Colson, what are you drinking in Cicero?
Yeah, thanks to Charlie and Tara. I pulled this one out of their fridge.
Oh.
It's not the Bud Light Silver, but the Bud Light Platinum.
It's got real platinum in it, which is why it's more expensive.
Where they keep the flavor crystals.
Yeah, it's got a little higher alcohol content as well.
Definitely sounds like something Eazy-E would have in his refrigerator. Yeah. Now, is this the Bud Light beer whose new slogan is, it's the beer that can remove no from your vocabulary for a night?
I think they changed that.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah, they changed that.
Whoa.
After they spoke to a woman, they decided that was probably not a good idea.
So we know how many women work in their marketing division now.
That's right. Up for whatever, guys.
Harper, what's good out west?
I am on the Iron Horse IPA again. It's dry hop, tongue friendly, and danktastic. So that's what you do.
Most good things in life are... all of those things.
Danktastic.
So this week, I'm on a minutes restriction, unfortunately. My sitter's knee got the best of me, and slowly getting back into shape. But we want to talk about the playoffs. And follow up the conversation we had last week. Same, I want to go the same way. Eastern Conference first, top to bottom. The Atlanta Hawks finished off those Brooklyn Nets. Took a little bit longer than we thought it would. Game six, but Atlanta put the smack down and finished them off. Moving on to round two. Did you guys see? None of us picked this game going six, right?
No, I think we had it in four or five.
Atlanta, Brooklyn.
Atlanta, yeah, I don't know. I had a sweep, yeah.
I don't know if this tells us anything about the Hawks or the Nets. The Nets that I thought were pretty interesting. That, you know, one big game out of Darren Williams. Brooke Lopez was pretty solid. Jarrett Jack made a mystery appearance for a quarter. But the Darren Williams throwback game was pretty cool. ended up with like what 35 points or something.
Yeah, I love a good time warp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we found that maybe the Hawks are somewhat of a regular season darling at some level. I think they may have peaked a little bit early, but I mean, they're still fighting.
Yeah.
I think in that last game, game six, they looked really good on Brooklyn's floor. Maybe they're getting a little bit of mojo back, but no, we can say as of recording time here, they're playing the Wizards.
They were.
And they have lost to the Wizards in game one of their series, so maybe they didn't get it all back.
And I was going to say, I mean, Atlanta did stumble a little bit coming down the stretch even in the regular season, so it might not be that, or it might be that they're not at full stride yet, so we'll see what happens. I made my pick before I found out that result, and I still had Washington, though. I love the way Washington plays.
Nice. And how many games did you have
Washington? I took six. I don't like that road game seven ever.
Yeah, road game seven's very hard. Joey, do you have a pick for that? Or do we want to talk about Washington and how they... Oh, we talked about Washington already. They demolished the Raptors. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they did it quick enough we got a chance last week to do that.
That's right. Joey, who you got in this Atlanta-Washington?
This one I'm going to take the Hawks in seven. Yeah, I think kind of the same things. They're a regular season team. I think actually this is kind of interesting because the way these are shaken out. But these, you know, Atlanta and Washington are two of the teams in the East that are both coming on. They both don't have a ton of playoff experience, and they're playing each other. So, you know, it's not like one has a distinct advantage in that department.
That's right.
But I think the Hawks have a better team.
The Eastern Conference crapshoot, right?
Yep.
Colson, what are your thoughts on this battle for the South?
Yeah, I don't think Atlanta's that good. I mean, I'm not even sure Washington's that good either, but I feel like they're just more set up for the playoffs. I like their traditional big men. I like the veteran in Paul Pierce. I like the John Wall just able to do what he wants on the floor. So I'm going to pick them in six. This gets done in
Washington.
Battle
of attrition.
Exactly. I'm not sure either team's that good, but that's...
Somebody has to win every game.
That's right.
Fair enough. I'm sort of leaning that way. I think this series is going to go, you know, win-loss, 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 or whatever. And I'm going to take Washington in seven. I think that Paul Pierce is going to do something crazy in game seven in Atlanta. The other thing is that neither one of these teams you feel has a great home court advantage, like crowd, which makes the winning a game seven on the road a little bit more feasible, perhaps. Who knows?
I think Atlanta might be tough for a game seven.
Well, you took Washington in six.
So I know. I was going to say you had them in six, but we both sat on it, so you had to move. That's clearly what happened.
I'm not ballsy enough to take them in.
Attaboy. I love it.
These series, I think, always go longer than we think they... Not all the time, but a lot of times they go longer than you think they're going to. You know, you look at the previous round, and, you know, we gave Brooklyn one game, maybe, if not a sweep, and they take two.
For teams not named Toronto, right? Right.
And again, I need to malign the fact that the Pacers didn't make the playoffs because the soulless Brooklyn Nets took two games from the Atlanta Hawks. There's no way we couldn't have won that series. So,
Yes, that is physically impossible. Correct.
That's right. Thank you for understanding, Harper.
The other quarterfinal, did we talk about, I can't remember where we ended last episode, but Cleveland swept the Boston Celtics. A lot of controversy in game four. Mm. Kevin Love ended up having surgeries, out 4 to 6 months.
He retired, right?
That's it. Yeah, what a blow. We were thinking, like, they would just pop it back in and maybe he'd be out a week or two.
Out there for game one, right?
Depending on how much pain he could tolerate. But apparently it's 6 month recovery for this.
So I've seen Lethal Weapon 1. I think he just slams it against the wall and is ready to fight some more.
That's like, right.
That's what you're supposed to do with the dislocated shoulder. I think Kevin Love needs to probably watch the entire four Lethal Weapons and then just come back.
He's going to have time.
But I mean, really, this is lame. Just like bang it against the wall and come back and shoot the basketball.
When we own a basketball team, that will be part of orientation.
Right. Yeah, we'll train our medical staff. That's how you deal with dislocated shoulders.
Just rub some dirt on it. Get back in there.
Exactly.
Standard protocol.
So now, Harper, last week you were making the argument that J.R. Smith should get a super long suspension because Jay Crowder was going to be out indefinitely. So should the same logic apply to Kelly Olynyk? He only got a one-game suspension. He's suspended for the first game of next year. For his arm bar on Kevin Love, which may cost the Cavs a championship.
So when I originally saw that play, I didn't feel like it was that malicious. My thinking was that he was trying to go, or at least how that play started, he was trying to go with one of those, I'll hold on to them, make it look like he's holding on to me, and then fall down and hopefully get a foul. The more I watch that play, the dirtier it feels, and certainly the result was god awful. So yeah, I mean, I think that does deserve, I mean, when you take Kevin Love out of the playoffs for a play that was clearly not basketball related, at best you can argue he was trying to draw a foul, at worst you can argue he's a ninja, right. I think he deserves longer than a one game suspension, absolutely. And he should probably pay some money to Kevin Love.
That's right.
But the league has still not tapped me for
That's right. Well, then we should talk.
You gotta check your spam folder. That's where it goes.
Is that where they're sending the invitations for a job interview?
That's right. For the new player enforcement,
they did take a harsher stance on J.R. Smith than I thought they would, and gave him 2 games, probably because of his history. I would say go with that.
Sure.
Is history now code for douchebaggery?
Repeated douchebaggery.
Ah, thank you.
That's right.
But.
And in the meantime, the Chicago Bulls, it took them a couple extra games, but they finally finished off the Bucks with a 54-point victory.
In style, right?
In Milwaukee, in Game 6. Lots of animosity in that game. Antetokounmpo, clotheslined, Dunleavy. Dunleavy was playing pretty dirty, actually.
I'd have probably done the same thing.
Yeah. Actually kind of punched Carter Williams at some point, chipped his tooth, I guess.
And also, he's just Dunleavy.
Yeah, true. So Bulls coming into this series, not exactly on all cylinders, but looking pretty good, healthy. I like their chances. I especially with the Love injury, I mean, Cleveland still might have the 2 best players in the entire series, which gives them a lot going their way, but I think Chicago's hungry for this matchup, and I think they're going to win this in 6, is my pick.
Chicago in 6.
Nice. Yep. I'm thrilled that you did that, because I really wanted to take Chicago. But this is a second-round matchup where I agree. Certainly they have the best player on the court. There's no way to argue that. Mm-hmm. But Kyrie, right now, is probably a better player than Derrick Rose. So I think
he's definitely a better player than Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose can flash, though. He can have games where he's the second best player on the court, for sure.
I think Gasol is Chicago's best player. Him or Jimmy Butler.
Oh, wow. So maybe I should pick Cleveland in 5. But I in any case, they're going to end up with the best 2 players on the court. And that a lot of times will win you. It's hard to bet against that team, especially when they have home court ad. I would love to be able to pick Chicago because I love the way that they run their organization, and I love their coach who might get fired for being so successful. But I like LeBron.
You got he's going the distance? Or is...
I'm taking him in the distance, though. I'm hopeful for a fantastic series that's going to come down for a coin flip. That's what I want to happen, but we'll see.
I really feel like the loss of Kevin Love is a big deal, and particularly in this series, I feel like the way that Love was going to be able to stretch the floor, pull one of those bigs, pull Joakim Noah or Gasol away from that basket, was going to help a lot for the spacing. I know that you can run LeBron at power forward and do similar things, but then he's just going to have to get beat up. So I still think they win this because LeBron is the best player. But I think it's going to be a lot harder than it should be. I'm going to pick them in six, but I think it's going to be a really physical and grind out series.
Well, if the Bulls are involved, it definitely will be.
no kidding, right?
Well, I think if you're trying to pull people away from the basket, Kelly Olynyk showed me you can just grab them by the arm and
and just yank.
Rip that thing off.
Yeah.
Then beat your opponent with it.
I'm going to take the Cavaliers in seven. You know, they still got LeBron James. Last I checked, and Kyrie Irving, and I. You know, Kevin Love is certainly an impact player, but you know he's not at the same level the other two. I don't believe.
No, but I mean, in the first two games between Kevin Love and J.R. Smith, that's 32 points a game that the Cavs are missing. That's a lot of scoring to make up.
That's an excellent.
Like I understand that James and Irving are amazing players, but 32 point. That's a 30 year offense, basically.
So, well, you've got that means Kendrick Perkins may play a little bit more, and so he's
and he's always good for at least 2 points.
But you you have guys like Mike Miller,
sure.
who are going to he's got experience.
Watch out for playoff Mike Miller.
Playoff Mike Miller can be a real thing.
And all our old friend James Jones could
that's
catch
right, ex-Pacer.
Fire.
Exactly. Yeah. And those type of role players, especially at home, those guys can actually look like legit players, right?
Yeah, for sure.
On the road, they'll be terrible. But.
You remember, was it Mike Miller? Was he in Memphis last? I just remember a game in Memphis where he seemed to have unlimited range in the playoffs.
Yep. I think, he played last year in Memphis. I think you're right about that.
He'll get his moment.
Not only in Memphis.
But he's got two rings with Miami, right?
Correct.
Yeah. He traveled like with the Miller team too, is that right?
That's correct.
Yep. Well, he played that game. He lost his shoe that one game, like in the finals, and still was bombing away.
True. I'm not talking about Mike Miller anymore.
Okay.
Somebody shut this down.
I'm going to spin off Western my Conference. Mike Miller podcast. actually, I need to get running here, okay. Unfortunately.
You want to give us your Western Conference predictions?
Yeah.
Before you
run, Joey, tell us who you got in the Western Conference here.
I've got Memphis in six.
Whoa. Ooh.
Nice. I like that.
And Memphis also is my new endorsement. The Clippers are playing the Rockets, and I'm going to take the Rockets in seven.
All right. Wow.
Got to run, guys. Have fun. Let me know how everything goes. I'll listen to everything. Make me look good.
We will.
Chris Paul says hi.
No!
Okay, so Golden State, 67 wins versus the Memphis Grizzlies. Sans Mike Conley, still out with a face. Did you guys see the pictures of him in game six or whatever it was, or five against Portland there? He's just pointing out, he's like, it didn't hurt here or here so much, right in this facial region.
Right in this general area.
He's got steel plates in there. I don't know what's going on.
Jeez.
This series obviously a contrast in styles at some level.
And that's what Joey's vote's about, right? I mean, he wants to buy into the, which is essentially smash ball, right?
Yeah, Joey's
it's big
old
guys. Yeah, he is. Big guys playing down low, being physical, and defense.
Mm-hmm.
But Golden State had a better defense over the length of the season. at least as far as the numbers go.
That is true according to metrics.
Right.
But I wouldn't
Memphis
argue
is
that.
Better. Yeah, they're yeah. better defenders.
when you take the eye test into account,
sure.
Memphis yeah. is definitely better defense.
Well, I mean, this is going to come down to the Draymond Green versus Zach Randolph matchup, right? And whichever one of those guys can force the other team to play their type of game is probably going to win that individual game. So if Draymond Green catches fire from downtown and forces the Grizzlies to play small, then that's advantage Golden State. But if Randolph is abusing Draymond Green in the post and Green's having not a great shooting night, then that forces Steve Kerr to go bigger to play defense.
Yeah, I don't think that Memphis can try to go small. I mean, I just think they have to, even if it's not working that well, they just have to stick with big. It's their only advantage.
So even if it's wrong, it
yes,
should be right.
No, even if it's going very poorly, even if Draymond Green is somehow wrapping up Zach Randolph, which I don't think is possible, I think it's going to be a great shit-talking matchup. These guys are both...
Oh, yeah, it should be that, yeah, right?
It's great. It's great.
Both Michigan State guys, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Randolph is... bigger and more physical in my mind. No matter, even though I voted for Draymond Green for Defensive Player of the Year, I think Randolph is going to have his way down low.
So this is Jorger is from the Frank Vogel school of thinking. Just go big. Don't change.
Stay big.
Stay big.
And I still don't think it's going to matter because they don't have Steph Curry. And I think even if they're dominating down low and even if they're dictating the pace, they don't have anybody that can match Steph Curry. And this thing is going to be over. In six. No, it's going to be over in five.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Golden State in five.
I'm kind of thinking the same way. I mean, I think that Memphis is a better team than maybe you're giving credit for.
Oh, I think they're a great team. I just think Golden State's won 67 games.
Right.
You know?
Well, and they've been off for like a week or so.
Sure.
Right? So, do they come out rusty today? Is Memphis able to steal one of those first two games? That could make a big difference in this series. But I think Golden State just has too much firepower, and it's them in six.
Okay.
Boy, I'm still trying to chew the Zach Randolph-Draymond Green matchup. But my thinking was kind of opposite. I was thinking that Golden State was going to definitely plant Draymond on him and just be happy with the result that they could play one-on-one. Zeebo's just not a guy who can score enough points to win you a series, I don't think. He can do some amazing things all around in his basketball game that can win you a series. But he's not going to be the guy who scores 30 a night for you.
No, but I think he can give you 24 and 12 all day long in this series. I don't think
he can do that against Draymond. I don't think he can do that. Or if he does, he's going to have to work so hard for it.
Draymond's going to make him work very hard for it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can't do that night in and night out with a guy like Draymond Green guarding you, or at least at a reasonable percentage, I don't think.
Right.
They're going to, you know, he's going to wear him out one way or another. And I just, with that caliber of a defensive player, on a guy who I think he matches up with pretty well, you know, both Michigan State guys, they similar games in a way, right? They're both just gritty, grimy dudes who are not afraid to get their hands dirty.
I do wonder, though, if maybe even if Randolph isn't super successful against him or scoring 30 points tonight, does he wear Green out over the course of the series at some level?
Gotta like his youth.
Or does he get him in foul trouble in three of the, you know, six games or something like that?
Sure.
That might make a big difference.
Well, and Gasol is fantastic right now, but he's got to go up against Bogut. Bogut's not going to make it easy. So, yeah. That's not a knife.
No.
This is a knife.
I think Gasol wins that matchup, but I think, Bogut's an exceptional defender as well. So.
Sure.
I mean, this really comes down to the shooting of the Golden State Warriors. I mean, that's really what this series is about.
We've ignored the main two guys.
Yeah, we can talk about how great all these matchups up front are going to be. But the first rule is going to be for the Warriors, push the ball. The second rule is going to be refer to rule one, right? Push the ball. They're going to try and get these guys when they're not set in the half court, and then they're going to just put up shots. I mean, this is going to look like Phoenix's offense at times. And if these guys can hit a few tough shots, which I don't think anyone thinks that Steph Curry can do. Then they're going to have an good shot in this series. I've got Golden State. I'm going to go. I'm hopeful for a great series. I love the contrasting styles of play. I think it's a great storyline. And for basketball purists, this is going to be really fun to watch. But I think that new school beats the pants off old school. I've talked myself into six.
Yeah, I mean, Curry might just have 40 a night. Yeah, I mean, with no Conley to
who's going
to
guard him?
Chase him around. I don't see any way to stop him. Yeah,
Calathes does a great job, but he's not.
Truth.
If he's not Kawhi Leonard, he's not going to slow him down.
That's right. Speaking of Kawhi Leonard,
oh, he's out of the playoffs, which is so fishing. Bums me out.
So last night, Mayweather-Pacquiao started out as the sporting event to watch, but I think that by 10:30 on the East Coast here, it's pretty clear that it was going to be hard to top this Clippers-Spurs Game 7, a game that was back and forth, and it wasn't a matter of either team kind of choking down the stretch. It was just big shot after big shot after big shot, and role players stepping up. Superstars doing their thing. Clips end up, you know, prevailing 2 points.
111-109.
On an amazing shot by Chris Paul. An injury-hampered Chris Paul hitting a fadeaway over the two best defenders on the Spurs. What a gritty, amazing series. The whole series in general was amazing. Really? I mean, basically any game, except for game three, I guess it was, could have gone either way. The Clippers, to me, showed a lot of intestinal fortitude in this series, winning games 6 and 7. Like, that's huge against the champs.
Yeah, they choked away a couple games that they could have won, you know, and everybody was saying, oh, it's the same narrative from last year. They're going to choke away these games. But I saw something real special from these guys in game 7.
Yeah.
They just the complaining level was down. I mean, they still did it, but I thought there was more focus in both games 6 and 7. And just Chris Paul and Blake Griffin look like two of the, you know, best 10 players in the league, which they probably are.
They are.
Yeah. And they looked like it. And they just went toe to toe with the champs. And this was one of the best basketball games I've ever seen. It was so fun. You're right, Jason. Just big shot, answered by big shot, answered by big shot. It was just absolutely incredible. I kept being like, whoa. each shot got progressively louder,
right?
Yeah. So
I think it's really difficult to talk about a team choking when they're playing the Spurs. The Spurs just make you do so many things that are uncomfortable and do such a good job of getting you out of whatever it is you want to be in, right? Offensively, defensively, whatever. The Clippers, really, they played a great series against, I mean, the most tested team in professional sports.
Yeah.
I did like the Spurs winning that series. I think I might have liked the Spurs in the second round matchup that they would have ended up with. But road long series. It's so difficult to go deep when that happens. And now the Clippers, they've played the defending champs. Now they got to move on. And guess what? They're going to be on the road. They might be in for another tough series. I had Houston in 7. That's what I have written down here.
Okay.
I'm going to go Colson audible.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the Clippers in this series.
Whoa.
Are you going to take Clippers in 7 or
it's a big audible?
In 6.
It's a huge audible. I'm going to take the Clippers in 6 because they are a really, truly great basketball team on a lot of levels, much as I hate them.
Wow, so they showed you a lot in that game.
Yeah, they beat the defending champs.
True.
That's a lot. And they're not still going to win a championship. The road is too long for them.
Yeah.
The way that these cards fell. But I think that riding that wave, I think that they can win another series. Are they going to stop James Harden? Nope, but nobody was ever going to do that. I think they can do just enough. Like you said, intestinal fortitude. This is a team with, you know, that really, really cares about winning, even if they don't care about the integrity of the game.
A fair point. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough, I think, for the Clippers. I mean, Chris Paul, that injury did not look good. So it's, they're calling it a strained hamstring. He's questionable for tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
And if he's not on the court, they really don't stand.
Oh, they have
chance.
No chance.
Yeah.
No chance.
Although, credit to their bench yesterday, for after he goes out, walks to the locker room, they have no idea what's going to happen, if he's ever going to come back. And they went on a little 6-0, 7-0 run or something to really stem the tide and give the keep the crowd sort of engaged. Because I think the crowd was ready to check out as soon as Chris Paul walked away. And so that was huge, energy-wise. But I don't. They can't do that for seven games in a
Correct.
Or whatever it's going to be in a long series against a really tough Houston team. That being said, I agree with you that they showed me a lot with those game six and seven wins, and I'm going to take them in seven. So this is now the second road game seven I've picked, which is stupid.
Second round's going to be awesome.
But I just got to stay on my I pushed my chips over into their corner early in this year, and I'm going to. Stick with it, I guess. I don't know.
I should let you go first. I wouldn't audible if I knew we were.
No, it's whatever.
It's good to be right.
Yeah, exactly.
I dislike both of these teams, the Boston Rockets and the whiny ass Clippers. I
sure.
I really, it's tough for me to want to root for either one of these teams.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I really do feel like Harden is a transcendent player, and. You know, MVP candidate, and the Rockets are better than I give them credit for. The Clippers showed me a bunch. You're right, after this victory, I mean, they just gutted this thing out, and they're better. I mean, the Clippers are a better team than Houston. But here's the problem. I think they're going to be totally train wreck exhausted. I think they feel they won something, and they did. I mean, they freaking beat the champs. And that's a huge accomplishment. I mean, you know, Chris Paul was...
You don't get
was,
rings for it, is what you're
right,
saying.
Right. Was fighting back tears or actually, you know, crying after it. And that's awesome. Like, you know, he left it all on the floor. So I think they're probably going to, with a Chris Paul injury and or just the emotional hangover, not be able to steal one of the first two, which you want to do if you're going to try to make noise, you know, in a series where you don't have home court advantage. And because of that, I think they lose this thing in seven. Houston wins in seven. If they weren't so hungover from this, I would pick them in six. I would pick the Clippers in six, but I think Houston's going to steal it in seven.
No, that's a really good point, because basically this series is going to be played every other day.
Yep.
Starting on Monday. So there's no bonus day of rest for the Clippers. Which makes me wonder, I wonder if... If you're Doc Rivers, do you just sacrifice game one and sit Chris Paul completely, let him get an extra 2 days of rest.
Don't show him any of your schemes. Don't do anything. Just go out and play a regular season game with your bench.
That's right. And then
I love it.
Not make Blake Griffin play 40 minutes, play him 30.
This is freaking genius.
And just see if you can scrap together something and go for put all your chips onto game two to try to steal.
I would be off on that. I'd be off on that.
Oh, no?
I would. I don't like tanking in the playoffs.
Okay.
Will you certainly win game one? Absolutely not. But I think that you can go out there, and by pushing the other team, you know, maybe you'll find something on film that you can use later, right?
Okay.
Maybe you find a tendency that you didn't see before because you're working hard on defense. I mean, you might accidentally win a basketball game, even without Chris Paul. Are the chances of that good? No, they're probably less than 10%. But if you do pull out that win, if James Harden falls down in the fourth quarter and has to come out of the game because he bruised his knee or whatever, and you win that game, you've won that series, right? If you win game one without Chris Paul, that thing is a wrap.
Yep.
So I think it's worth it. If you're in the third quarter and you're down 30, do you pull Blake? Of course you do. No question about it.
Right.
But I think you go out there and get competitive and let the chips fall where they may. The playoffs are just way too unpredictable to go in with that kind of mentality.
Okay, that's fair. You can't ever sacrifice a game. It's only seven game series.
No, you can only sacrifice
a good point.
Lambs, John. Lambs.
That's a good point.
I mean, I agree with you at some level, for sure. I just worry that Chris Paul is just not gonna be healthy enough to play, but convince everyone that he can play. When really Doc should just say, "Dude, just
sure,
we need you for the long haul. This right. is gonna be a long series,
right?
No matter what, right?" So,
but, I mean, for me, I think that he should maybe do that, but I think that that is a vote of confidence that Blake Griffin needs. As good as Blake is, he still feels a little fragile to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a gut thing, right? I don't have a bunch of evidence to support it. I don't know Blake Griffin, but it just feels like he lacks the consistency of a truly confident player sometimes. And he hasn't made that leap from all-star to MVP, which yeah. I really do think he's capable of.
Yeah, it took him a while to start to take over that game. Yesterday,
yep.
I was like, dude, Chris Paul is not going to win this, although he ended up winning it. But, but it was like, Blake, you have to do this now. You have to carry this team. You know, Chris Paul said as much in the post-game interview. He was like, I just kept telling him, dude, you got to carry me, you know? And he eventually did. He had basically a triple-double.
Yeah. I mean, he really is that type of player, right? I'm just waiting for him to be what I keep begrudgingly telling people that he is.
Yeah.
Well, he had a heck of a series, and you know, I don't know if he can.
A little bit up and down.
I mean, I mean, I know that he made some mistakes, but like, if you were going to say, you know, what did he end up averaging for the series? 24, 13, and 5. Like, I mean, the guy was amazing.
It might have been closer to 7, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was incredible. He showed up. So I mean, you know, and I know that he's capable of doing this all season, but. And he hasn't necessarily, but if you can show up and win me a playoff series doing that, keep it up, buddy. Sure. You're worth all the money.
And I'm with you, but there's still an element of his game where no, in spite of those gaudy numbers, no one is going to say he was the best player on the court, right?
Oh, well, no, I agree with
that. Bunch of other guys ahead of him. And I think he's capable of being a best guy on the court sort of player. Okay. He has a reliable 18-footer, that athleticism around the rim, and he's a really underrated defender and passer. Like I said, this guy has MVP caliber talent, but he's going to need all of it to win this series. I realized that I picked the Clippers in 7, and so did you, Jason.
No, you picked the Clippers in 6, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I was gonna move it to 6. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Perfect.
I don't like winning 2 game 7s in a row on the road.
Yeah. Right. It's
too hard to do. So they'll lose. is what I've just done to us both.
That's all right. I got the Wizards and the Bulls to cheer on.
Yes.
So I told you all that I was here at Cicero at Charlie's Lake House, and we actually have one of our longest and best listeners, D. Charles, here with us in-house.
I've never said he was a good listener. He's not a good listener.
It's never happened before.
Neither has his wife.
That was one of my better traits.
This is a truth cast over here, buddy. That we roll.
Perfect.
Pull no punches.
Secretly an intervention, Charlie. Right.
I wonder why my parents are out here.
So, welcome to the pod.
Thank you.
Honorary unbeatable for the day. You're gonna. Joey had to leave us, so you're gonna be the fourth man.
Perfect.
As is tradition, we need to ask you what you're drinking.
I'm drinking the Bud Light Platinum in an aluminum can.
Okay.
aluminum can keeps you a little cooler, which is kind of nice. 6% alcohol.
Do you lick paint with it? Is that how you bring out the flavor?
A little bit. Yeah. The lead really gives it a little.
Brings out the platinum.
The bite. You know,
a lot
really
of metals
nice.
Going on. In
sure. Yeah. I like heavy metals.
So. I like the Bud Light Animanium. That's what I like.
It is good. So what is the platinum for your...
For her pleasure.
It's marketed at a specific subset of Bud Light listeners? Is that what it is?
I believe so. It is a 6% alcohol, so it's sort of their amped up alcohol without having to drink quite so much volume.
Sure.
Which is kind of the annoying thing.
Usually
with
that's what Bud Light
beer.
Drinkers enjoy, is just volume.
It's just hella volume.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it's so delicious.
Oh, it's yummy.
We are classy here too. We're splitting a Canadian club in a paper cup.
A classy paper cup.
Yeah. So, cheers.
Salute.
Cheers.
With a platinum back.
Yeah, that's right. Platinumback was the name of a band in high school.
Yeah, it was. And you guys played nothing but Nickelback covers.
It's strange that we weren't more popular.
I thought it was the name for a really classy gorilla. Not a silverback, it's a platinum.
Solid.
Thanks.
Quite the metallurgist conversation here.
Yeah. You did not know what you were
You brought
into,
it up, bro.
You didn't know you had to bring your table of elements to the show today.
Cesium. Cesium.
Cesium.
That's where the secret is. Right.
All right. Well, before we got hijacked on our show here by Charlie, we were going to do a quick recap of predictions. I just realized that I don't have the scores up from the actual results. Hold on.
We're always prepared on the show. That's one of our qualities.
Right. Yeah. The Boy Scouts lost out with you guys.
Right. All right. So we'll go top to bottom, right to left, because apparently we're Muslim. Atlanta, Brooklyn ended up being a 6-game series.
Ugh.
I'm not ashamed to tell you no one picked that.
Yeah.
You guys were all in at 5. I went 4.
Should have been 4.
Yeah. Toronto, Washington. Washington swept that mother. I took Washington in 6. That was not right. Joey was the outsider. I actually picked Toronto to win that series. Everybody else was at 6. So apparently we give Toronto and Canadians in general just a little bit too much credit.
I do love the Canadians.
They're good at hockey, but not at basketball.
No, they need to blow it up. They just don't have the talent. It's just not there. They don't feel like they can compete on an elite stage with what they have right now.
And look, I completely agree with that, but I don't think that means blow it up. I think it means going into the offseason, like, hey, this is going to be who we are. We don't know who we are. We've been in the midst of an identity crisis for 5 years. Let's figure out what style of basketball we want to play. Get the guys to put around Lowry and DeRozan to do that, and then go execute. I don't think that means blowing it up for me.
Oh, I think that's right. I mean, I think that Lowry and DeRozan are good pieces. I think Valanciunas is not going to be quite the anchor that they thought he was going to be. I think that he's a rich man's Jeff Foster.
That was misguided, yeah.
But that's a good piece to have on your team.
Exactly. That's not a bad thing.
But he's a piece, not
a centerpiece.
Right. That's right, yeah. So they need one more decent player, I think.
Cleveland, Boston. No one had this being competitive. I stepped outside of the box and went 5, and the Brad Stevens bump didn't even work, so good job on you guys.
Don't you have to say the Celtics did a pretty decent job keeping them all competitive, though, right?
By competitive you mean breaking arms, then yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, then yeah, they're better ninjas than they are basketball players, apparently.
So did Colson and I pick sweeps, right? I
think correct.
I know, okay.
Everybody, I don't have Joey's on this. I think he just sort of agreed generally.
I think Joey had Boston in 5. I think he did. He loves Brad Stevens. He probably gave them a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a thing.
Maybe he had a Boston sweep. I don't even know.
Yeah.
He is not here to defend himself. So
no, I think he did have a 6-game series.
We will assign him numbers as we deem appropriate.
Yeah.
And never look back at the tape.
That's right.
So definitely the most interesting matchup from round one in the East, Chicago-Milwaukee. Everybody had Chicago in this. We were split between 6s and 5s. JT and Joey had 6.
Yay. Bonus points.
Bonus points.
So does that say more about Milwaukee, or does it say more about the Bulls that this went 6? Because it honestly could have gone the other way. A lot of these games were close down the stretch. You could make an argument that this could have Milwaukee could have won this series. Because they almost won two of those games, right?
You would get laughed out of this
on this show right now.
They almost won two of those games against the Bulls, and then they did win two of those games. So it could have gone the other way. Now, I know the Bulls have the experience.
And they've got the third biggest winning margin in a playoff game of all time when they finally showed up.
No, yeah, exactly. When they finally showed up and they decided to play basketball.
In game six.
Yeah, in game six, they destroyed them. But, I mean, this game could have been – I mean, the series could have been, you know, 3-2 or whatever.
I feel like your question was, does it say more about the Bulls or the Bucks?
Right.
And I feel like we've got a control set of games to work with. And then a closing game in which they beat them like redheaded stepchildren.
Okay. So it says more about the Bulls then.
It says a lot more about the Bulls.
Yeah.
And they finally managed to wake up the beast in game six, and they just shut the door.
Is that focus? I mean, did they just take the Bulls too lightly? Or, I mean, did they take the Bucks too lightly?
An overlook?
Yeah.
I don't think
that the Bulls are the team that overlooks teams. I think that a lot of it is mental. You're absolutely correct. But getting everybody moving at the same time is a difficult thing to do at that level. And really, Rose is just reintegrating himself into an offense after 3 years, basically. And that's good. Sure. There's an adjustment period there. So I think the Bulls are a dangerous team, but they need to be getting better every game. Mm-hmm. And they just they weren't making the leap.
Yeah, I mean, one of Milwaukee's wins was on an amazing last second play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where they drew up something nice and got it.
No one gave them the Jason Kidd game, which we were.
Sure, we should have done that.
About. And then, in retrospect. I can't comment on game five. I don't know if that was, you know. I know Chicago had a bunch of turnovers that game, and Milwaukee can play good defense, so maybe they came out and played good defense that one game, and then Chicago really said, enough.
Yeah.
And then slaughtered them. So. I don't know. I think it says that the Bucks are a scrappy team. They're building towards something, you know. And I think it says that the Bulls are getting their shit together and remembering how to close out playoff series.
Yeah.
All right. Western Conference.
Starting at the top. Golden State, NOLA. Colson, you remember which pick was?
I think I said six, didn't I?
You went five.
Okay.
JT, you took a sweep.
Good on you.
I went five.
I would have picked five.
Yeah, we were clouded by our love of New Orleans.
Charlie, you know nothing that you said before was on record, so you can just...
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I know. I just
you said it was sweet.
Unthinkable.
I think Joey picked a sweep for that one, too.
I think he did. I think he did. Really, just a fun playoff series. It really was. And
mm-hmm.
We saw... I think my thing going into that was, you know, the country getting to see who Anthony Davis was, and boy, did he bring it. Mm-hmm. For being a kid that age, showing up in a playoff series and playing like a vet. I mean, all the smart plays, all the athletic plays, he really had it all going, and it's a shame that that thing didn't go seven. I would have paid to watch seven games of that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and just we talk so much about getting playoff chops, you know, for him as a player. Mm-hmm. Now that he's been there and knows what that next level is, that's going to motivate him even more in this offseason to take his game to an even higher level, which is
scary.
Scary. It's terrifying. Absolutely scary. Yeah.
Well, and I think our comment last week was that, you know, he kind of faded a little bit down the stretch sometimes. And I think it's and my argument was that they asked him to do too much, or maybe not asked him to do too much, but he had to do too much in the series, and he wore himself out.
I really thought that he acquitted himself well, all things considered, as a 23-year-old kid or whatever it is.
Well, and don't forget, he had a few injuries the last month of the year too, and you never know how back to 100% he was. I attribute that to my barely loss in my fantasy basketball, by the way. But.
Gotcha.
Right.
That I
which
appreciate.
Was a travesty, which it I was. Have on the record.
I appreciated that being on the record. I lost my – you missed the one stat that I quoted was that I was 0.01 of a percent short on field goal percentage.
No, I said it, but I said 0.00 because I don't understand math.
Exactly. And I was trying not to call you out as an incorrect
statistician. That's okay. I'm here to point out how bad I am.
But yeah, it was you, one more decibel point. So. Yeah.
Well, your effort earned you as an alternate just in case anything happens.
I appreciate that. In case there's a freak injury in the offseason.
Right, right, right.
All
right.
Who are the other people?
And what are their addresses?
Exactly. Get on Google Maps real fast.
But no, Anthony Davis, the most exciting young player in the league. I agree with you, Colson. He was called upon to do way too much. But unless something changes in a hurry, that is his station in life. Is
sure.
going to have
his
to
destiny.
Be doing too much for a middling team and making them great, pretty much by himself. He's on the LeBron program right now. So
and playing 40-plus minutes a game. He's playing 46
I really do
minutes.
Think he's up to the task. I really do.
Well, they have a chance to remake that roster this summer. I mean, Oshik comes off the books. I think a couple of their other guys come off the books. So they'll have money to play with.
Yeah.
I don't even know who their GM is, but hopefully you can pull together some more assets.
I really think that team has legs in free agency too. I don't know how many of you guys, actually I know exactly how many of you guys have lived in New Orleans. That is a fun, bloody place to live. And guys should go there when the salary cap goes up. They're going
to
have draw.
Well, and you also, do you want to play with?
You get to play with Anthony.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just going to say that too. How fun would it be?
In that town,
that guy
totally
seems
embrace.
Like a real dick. I don't know.
that city is going to embrace a good team. So you're right. It'd be a fun place to
that play. Team. That team is really, really ascendant. They're really going to be great. All right. Well, enough talk about the team that lost. Let's go to the 4-5. I need you guys to take over the conversation as a breakdown in tiers. Portland gets manhandled by Memphis. I picked Memphis in 5, assuming that I would get at least one more game after that. I didn't. The good news is I got the pick on the nose. You guys all picked 6 or 7, so I guess bonus points for me. And also my soul died a little bit, so...
So that happened.
So that
happened. A little bit.
A healthy Portland wins that series, I think. And it's too bad that they had the injuries they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I will say, then, Lillard needs to make a little mini leap.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like he kind of plateaued this year at some level.
Yeah. So I know exactly what you mean, but my feeling is that the jump that he made the year prior was so big.
It was 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a 2-year leap, and he kind of came back down to earth. I don't think it was a big fall off, but staying flat there I'm kind of okay with. But yeah. You're right. He does need to show positive growth.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it doesn't need to be a big leap at all. But just being a little bit more in control of things, I think is a great.
It does look like they have a little gym in CJ McCollum, though.
That guy's a player. He's a player. Doug McDermott light? I don't know.
Potentially, yeah. I didn't know he had that kind of range.
Oh, boy, he can shoot.
So, that's,
everybody
you
on
can
that
never
team
have
can
too
shoot.
Many shooters, right?
So. Yeah. Everybody on Portland can shoot. They do not draft not shooters.
It's true. Myers Leonard going to be a nice little stretch 5.
Dude, are you kidding me with his 3-point numbers this season?
Yeah.
Anyway, Memphis wins and wins big. Houston, Dallas. Anybody remember what they picked in this one?
Did I pick the upset? No, I really wanted to. I don't.
You did. You did. You were all over the board, but you.
Wow.
You landed on.
I hate the Boston Rockets so much that I had to call the upset. I think it was a Carlisle coach is he's going to figure it out type thing.
Yep.
I was wrong.
You didn't calculate the eliminate Rondo move?
Yeah, no. Rondo, yeah. I thought maybe you'd get some playoff Rondo, and instead you got the opposite of that. Like, he just basically destroyed the playoffs in his possession.
Yeah. He was anti-matter. He was anti-matter.
He was. He was.
Yeah, the go-home Rondo move.
Yeah, he blew up his team for sure. So, Colson, you had them in 6. JT, not them. Yeah. You had Houston, I'm sorry, in 6.
Oh,
JT,
I did have Houston in 6?
Yeah, you got Houston.
Okay.
The only person who actually picked Dallas was Joey. Okay. And I think largely just to bail you out because you spent 10 minutes talking about how you
about how much
them,
I wanted Dallas
and then went and picked him. So I think it was just a charity move.
That was nice of Joey. Yeah.
I took Houston in 7. Guys, I mean, we've talked about why Rondo was a scourge on this, but what? How do they move forward? They mean that team got busted. They got broken down.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I think that they, you blow it up. I mean, I guess they have.
I love that you're saying that.
Parsons under
knee
contract
injury,
and Nowitzki, right? Yeah. And Nowitzki, and I think those are your two pieces, weirdly. And then you mold around that.
Real
right?
talk.
Like, I mean, Rondo's gone, obviously. I think Ellis's contract is up this year.
It is, and so is Tyson Chandler's.
I think those guys want to. Well, I think Ellis wants to stay. I think Tyson wants to stay, but I don't know if he's welcome.
They should drop him. I don't like him.
I like Chandler for the most part. I really thought he underperformed in that series, but I like him as a piece on that team for the right price.
Well, I mean, he helped them win a championship. His play was in large part of, you know, what helped.
Why are you so fixated on championships?
I mean, he's what, 3 years older, 4 years older now? I mean, he's probably never going to be the dominant anchor for a defense that he was. Do you keep him around? Let him sign a contract.
He was never a first tier dominant center on either end of the court, but what he was a great hustle guy and a guy who could really flash and show you those moments. He could give you the big block into the third row now and then. Like, he does that stuff, which you love.
Keeping LeBron and Dwayne Wade out of the paint in that series was pretty important.
But I really felt like that his effort flagged later, and that may be age, that may be. Rondo gave up on his team, so they give up on their own team. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's
13 years in, so.
Yeah. He's an old 32 or whatever he is.
Yeah, he's taken a lot of punishment. You're right.
And he's been, I feel like he's been injured every year at some level. I don't know. You know, I guess I've kind of flipped my script on this because, you know, I think it was last week or the week before I was saying that, you know, Nowitzki's only got a small window.
2 years.
You got to capitalize on that. But I think that he's quickly becoming a role player.
He was definitely a role player this year, I think.
I think we all agree that they need to make a bunch of roster moves to get relevant.
Yep.
I think that the only real interesting question is, do you make a move on the coaching or GM front? Yes or no? Jason?
No, I think Carlisle's one of the best coaches in the league.
Okay, what about GM?
I don't even know who their GM is. So, sure, get rid of him.
Coulson.
I,
up or down, I get, coach and GM?
Carlisle's one of the few coaches in the NBA that makes a difference. He's great. You should hold on to him as long as you can. Put him in the pop position. Let him stay there forever. I don't know who their GM is. He's cobbled together a championship. And a competitive team that wins 50 games every year. I don't know that he's the bad guy here.
It's Donnie Nelson. So now, Jason, I'm going to re-ask you. Because I know what a big Don Nelson fan you are.
Knowing that
the son of Don Nelson is GMing the Mavs, are you still going to fire him?
I don't know.
I was going to fire him twice, personally.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a guy whose big off-season acquisition last year was stealing Chandler Parsons away from the boost in Rockets.
And it was not a steal.
And, he kind of overpaid.
Yeah.
I guess when the salary cap goes up, that's going
to
be a good deal.
He paid more to Parsons than he did to Nowitzki.
Well, that was Nowitzki did that on purpose, but...
That's Nowitzki's fault. You're right.
Yeah, it is Nowitzki's fault. So, I mean, I feel like Cuban pulls all the strings there anyway, though, so it kind of does.
They gave a lot away on that Rondo deal, too.
They gave way too much away for that Rondo deal.
That Rondo deal screwed them.
I mean, they gave away two draft picks and two useful pieces.
With an old team. I mean, you've got between Nowitzki and Chandler.
Well, no, you were all in with that move, and what ends up happening is at the trade deadline, a bunch of point guards end up being available for way cheaper. I mean, they just... They did screw the pooch on that one. I mean, I get why they did it, but it pretty much just...
It's a big risk.
Yeah.
A big risk on a dicey guy like
Rondo. Did not pay off.
I'll make a quick prediction here. I think that the Mavs, knowing that the salary cap is going to go up, are going to overpay wildly over the next 2 years, suck up the luxury tax over these 2 years, but get in on these free agents before the rest of the league does because they're willing to pay the money because Mark Cuban has money that he doesn't know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if he does that, he can actually build a really good team here, and he won't be paying luxury tax in 2 years anyway. Mm-hmm. When everybody is bidding high on these free agents, he can offer big contracts now. But I agree that it's basically time to rebuild. I don't care about the GM. Yes, you would like to have somebody better, but I'm just not sure that guy's out there. Unless,
but I mean, who are they going to go at? I mean, they're going to go after LMA for sure.
Well, there's a bunch of guys out there. I mean, I think Horford's out there. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there. But everybody's going to be signing two-year contracts. That's the thing, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And if you can be the team that offers maximum available contracts in this year, maybe somebody bites.
Yep.
And Horford, an aging guy like that, I mean, I think this would be a great move for him.
Yeah. Potentially, yeah. Learn from Dirk.
Sure, and you know you got Tyson
Partner
Chandler
up with
out
that
there,
dude for a
and,
year. Yeah,
you know, this is a pretty nasty three-man rote, and I don't know. Anyway, we probably talked about enough about a team that lost.
So it's true. No, that's kind of what we're doing, though. We're kind of giving our. I feel like that's what this segment's become. We're kind of giving our the people that are out of the playoffs.
That's kind of your rest in peace moment.
Yeah, we like
these guys. We're not going to talk about you
because then we'll talk about the winners the next round.
So. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I call it my middle finger moment. yeah, we're on that.
So who's the next team that lost?
there was another series, L.A. San Antonio. Hmm. That series gets a rest in peace for me. I want the entire playoffs to be just those teams going at it like 32 times.
I agreed.
How there fun was that series?
There was a tweet from, I think it was not NBA TV, or whatever, like the NBA TV parody account. It's like, round two schedule. East, Spurs versus Clippers. Spurs versus Clippers. West, Spurs versus Clippers.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm 100% down with that plan. Let's
so
just purge
good.
The rest of the league.
This was an amazing series, and I'm sad it's over. I'm sad that San Antonio has to go home. Man, can they play basketball.
It shouldn't have happened this way either. It's a stupid NBA seeding issue that could have easily be corrected. Now, they're not going to correct it this year because it was their only good first-round series, which builds no momentum for change. But these are two teams who should have met in the conference finals, for sure.
Yeah, so San Antonio, I feel like, I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the first half. I think they bring the band back together one more go. I mean, Timmy's 39. But he just dropped. He had 4 20-10 games in this series.
Has he been the best player in the playoffs so far in terms of consistency?
It's a good question. I think he's up there for sure.
He's way up there. Maybe Kawhi's got him, but Kawhi hasn't been quite as consistent.
So. Right. So they'll sign Kawhi to a mega max deal or whatever. Extend him. They can. Ginobili may or may not come back, I guess. Sounds like Pop is going to come back.
Yeah, no, what was his quote? They asked him after, you know, in the post game. They said, is everybody going to come back? And he says, we'll probably all come back. The pay's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you really are getting paid a lot of money to play basketball, and they're really good at it still.
So, prediction-wise, Jason, you get the check, Mark.
Yeah.
And a gold star. Seven
went out
games
on a limb.
To the Clippers.
And it turned out that I called myself an idiot for that pick. And it turns out that idiocy pays off sometimes.
It does. It was a great pick and a great series. I would have bet against that last second 15-foot banker off the glass fading baseline, but that thing
over
went down.
Two
so.
Of the best defenders in the league, yep. Tim Duncan.
Can't defend it any better.
Yeah. No, they did exactly what they were supposed to do, and the shot went down. Chris Paul was electric at times in that series. Everybody else on this pod, except for Charlie, who I'm hoping is going to say that his original pick was Clippers in seven.
100%.
There you go. The rest of us all went Spurs. Six, six, and Colson seven.
Yeah, had I thought the Spurs could win on the road, and they almost did.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah,
I mean, they almost won Game Six. You know.
Yeah, they really need to win Game Six. Last week, I said that if it goes to Game Seven, watch out. I had the Spurs in six. I wasn't convinced that they could win on the road in that environment. And that was a coin flip. It's a coin flip series, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it should be, because the Clippers really showed me something. As much as I, you know, dislike them and bitch about them, they were very, very impressive in this.
Oh, yeah.
So, Charlie, where do you stand on the CP3 is a little bitch stance?
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation. I enjoy listening to the rapport on the pod. I tend to waffle some as well. Maybe that's just because I'm backfilling Joey for a moment. But I definitely see the CP3 bitch phase, and it kind of annoys the shit out of me a little bit. But he has some mad skills.
Oh, he's the best point guard in the league.
His quickness. Do you say that?
Yeah, I think he is. And I think if he...
I'll still take Westbrook for my money, by the way.
But... As far as pure point guard, as far as passing ability,
forget it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. And I think he's probably a top 10 all time, maybe. I mean, you know, but.
I will slap you through this call.
No. As point guard, as
step
pure,
away from the webcam, please.
I wasn't letting Tim Duncan in, and now you want to see
No. As pure point guard. Not of players all time. No. He's not that. I'm just saying, if you look at pure point guards in the history of the NBA, he is. Got to be one of the best to ever play the game.
He is.
His command of the floor, his passing ability, his scoring ability.
He is wild smooth, and his players really seem to... They work really well with him. Like, as he's moving, you can see their movement sort of in accordance with what he's
doing.
They're
terrified of him.
I feel like a lot of players move, and everyone else kind of finds their spot and waits to see.
That's such a great point, right? Like, as a team, there's a lot of... sort of consensus, like everybody's on the same page there. At the same time, no one seems to actually enjoy doing what they're doing. Yeah. And that feels like the Chris Paul effect. We talked a little bit about this last week. I think guys are scared of Chris Paul. He's a freaking crazy person in some sense.
He's got great insurance, too.
They talk about Oscar Robertson that way, right? Like, he was one of the greats of all time, but he was
him in the top 10.
He was one of the most demanding teammates of all time. He demanded perfection from everyone, and if they didn't have it, he let them know, and they were all of his teammates were terrified of him his entire career.
Well, I think that's a byproduct. Something that makes Chris Paul a great point guard is that he sees everything so well, mm-hmm. and he knows how all the pieces should move. So he's a bit of a control freak, and I think that just manifests itself in the way that he, you know, he wants control over every little piece that's going on the floor. Right. And in order to do that, his way to do that is to just yell at people, basically. But that's such a good point, though,
because it's not for him. It's not just, I need you there and you there. It's, hey, you should have fallen down when that guy got near you. I mean, his understanding of the intangibles of the game, right?
Yeah.
The little veteran stuff that you do, he's like Reggie Miller 2.5. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a worse flopper. He's a more instinctual arguer with refs than Reggie was. I mean, this guy has it all together. But if you could impart any of that knowledge on another human, that team would win a lot. The problem is, I don't actually think he's a good leader.
Mm. That's right. On that note, I thought it was really interesting. You know, he got interviewed after the game, and they asked him about – he had this moment with Tim Duncan afterwards, and they were asking him about it, and it sounds like, you know, he sees Tim Duncan as a mentor in this league, basically.
That's what I'm fashioning my game after.
AA after Timmy. they played AAU together. They both went to Wake Forest, you know. But they have such wildly different leadership styles. That it's sort of how – I don't understand how what advice Tim Duncan can give him, you know.
Well, I don't know. Like, the knock on Timmy was that Timmy's not a leader. For 10 years, that was the knock on this guy. Until somebody was like, okay, quiet leadership actually is okay.
That's a style of leadership.
Yeah, that actually is a style of leadership.
Well, maybe it's locker room leadership, maybe, and not in your face in the middle of the game showing your weakness during a game. I mean, getting someone
building people up behind the scenes instead of breaking them down publicly.
A confidence builder versus a you better freaking
and it, and you know it's kind of proven to work at least in this.
Yeah,
in this
they've not done too badly there.
But it took a long time for the media to sort of recognize that was legitimate, right?
Yeah, yeah,
completely. The guy had MVPs, and they were still questioning his leadership. I mean, it's sort of embarrassing in a way. And so I think that these guys are sort of polar opposites, right? Chris Paul's a very outspoken guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's
very
also
emotional on the court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's very emotional on the court, but he's a very robotic person. And the opposite is kind of true of Tim Duncan, right? He's a robot on the court, but off the court, he's actually kind of a – he's kind of a teddy bear, right? Like, these guys, I think, could actually sit down and have a really interesting lunch sometime, right? They're so polar opposite. I think they could, you know, Tim Duncan, even where he's at, is more than willing to learn from a guy who's not in the Hall of Fame yet. I mean, he's got that humility. Like, both of these guys could learn a lot from each other for sure. Would they play together well? I'm not so sure, but
I mean, I think that Tim Duncan could play together well with basically anybody.
I hate it, but it's true. It's just true. It's fact.
He doesn't want to run that fast, though.
Yeah, he didn't want to run that fast. I like that.
Well, okay, so to put a capstone on this, I think I got these numbers correct. So the
scoring you think you
system
got them
was
right because you won. Is that is that your metric?
Exactly.
Okay.
So the scoring system is if you pick the series correctly, you get a point, and if you pick the number of games, you get a bonus point. So Joey, since he's not here to defend his picks, and we didn't actually know what they were, he ends up in last after the first round. It was 7.
I'm going to give him 0. Okay. We redact that to 0.
You and Coulson come in with 8, and Triplett way out in the lead with 12.
Nice.
First round.
Right. Well, as our best analyst, it's only right.
Not the most handsome, though. That honor goes to Mr. Harper.
I was going to say Gafrida.
Mm.
I'm an ugly SOB.
Yeah.
Per Charlie's dad, that seems to be the case.
He was not impressed.
He was not impressed.
I'm
all
a radio personality, ladies and gentlemen.
Good to see you, Mr. Ellison. Haven't seen you in like 5 years.
Shout out.
Man, you are looking ugly.
You know what's funny? I'm like 100% sure he said the same thing to me 5 years ago, but that was before the pod.
Probably, yeah.
You got a radio face, son.
You should interact with less people.
That was sound advice, as it turns out.
Stay indoors.
Stay indoors.
There's no avoid need for you light to go outside.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the whole Oklahoma City coach deal? There, thoughts? Good, bad, ugly?
Well, I've been calling for his head for 2 years, and not even actually calling for it, just predicting it. And I'm pretty sure I committed to calling for it every year until the axe actually fell, which it finally did. And I don't know that he's a great coach, but I can tell you this. I hate freaking Billy Donovan. And I hope that entire organization goes down in flames.
So you didn't like Scott Brooks, but you hate Billy Donovan way more.
No. I didn't even hate Scotty Brooks. I felt like it was coming down the pike, so I kept predicting it.
Okay, sure.
It wasn't necessarily smart. I hate that guy.
So you're okay with him. It wasn't an eyeglasses thing. Like, his glasses didn't drive you nuts.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, I honestly,
Billy Donovan's hair is pretty brutal. So, yeah, I don't know what's better between the two.
It's all aesthetics around here.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, so OKC fires this guy that's taking them to 50-plus wins basically every year and to a finals.
And built some talent along the way, by the way.
With mad injuries.
Then they boot him out the door and say, what we need is a coach to take us to the next level, which in their case is a championship. So they bring in a dude that's had an NBA job for 3 days once.
He got hired by the Orlando Magic.
And then he backed out.
Backed out.
He reneged on his contract, which I didn't know that you could do that. Yeah. Everybody else in the world, if you signed a contract.
You have to build that into your contract.
If you sign a Florida contract, beware.
That's right. This doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a standard ground policy on that contract.
Yeah. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
It's fucking
cool. He's had a lot of success in Florida, and he's a name, and you're trying to make KD and Westbrook like convince them that you're trying hard. I agree with you. I'm not sure that this is going to work or why it was finally coming down the pike as the decision. Like, I can see this being tossed around in a committee, in a room.
What about Donovan?
Yeah, you know, let's
over
put his name
beers.
on a whiteboard.
Sure.
Yeah, I get it. But the fact
is,
but as you're crossing off names, you know, like, I can't imagine why his didn't get crossed off.
Right. Well, so here's the problem with college football coaches with college basketball coaches. It is easy to lie, cheat, and steal your way to a bunch of guys that you're paying to play an amateur sport, skirting the rules and making it look super legit, which makes you look like a great coach. And I really think that that's what the NCAA is these days. I don't watch the NCAA anymore for the most part, outside of March Madness. It is a train wreck, guys.
Mm-hmm.
There is no alumni money going into those players.
Not a dollar, right? Not a dollar.
Sarcasm. It's one of the things that Charlie brings to the pod.
I really think the NCAA is that corrupt, and all these players are – the whole thing's a freaking mess. Billy Donovan can't step into a situation where he has no control over personnel, can't bribe better players into getting there because the bribery is on the table. It's professional sports, and who pays wins. There's no way that he has success with this team. And if he does, that makes me feel even worse about life, honestly.
No.
Look, the guy's a dick.
Look, here's the deal. You can look at this. Scotty Brooks has created a team of guys that seem to like to play together. Like, it's the same thing, right? He's created a culture.
Well, he paid him a lot of money to pretend to like each other.
Well, look, Donovan's going to come in, and he's going to put in some offensive sets. And, you know, it's going to look real pretty, and they're probably going to have success.
Yeah, because their problem was offense.
Well, it was on some level. I mean, they had uncreative
Which
offense. That was one of the critiques
you
of
say
Scottie
offensive
Brooks.
Sets versus Wussel just doing his own 1-on-5.
It's good. It's I mean, part of it
rim,
is personnel management. I mean, you know, that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out how
he
to
does make, know egos. That's a good point. I will give you that. He knows egos.
And I think on some level he doesn't have to do that much because it's already been built for him. He's just got to manage some egos and put in some offensive sets. And if he does that and the team stays healthy, the GM's going to look like a genius and Donovan's going to look great. And it's kind of low risk on that level. I agree with you that this is probably a bad choice, but I think it can end up looking good, I guess.
So I think that the next level of argument here is I think that's a great point. He probably just doesn't have to manage egos. But the difference between managing college egos and NBA egos is different. And from what little I know of Billy Donovan, from never having a beer with the guy, can he subsume his own ego to his players' egos to make this thing work?
It was never Scottie Brooks' team. It was always KD and Westbrook's team. And those guys care about each other and run that show. And as long as these guys buy in and back up whatever Donovan's saying, then it'll be fine.
Right.
If
they
don't buy in and don't back
right,
him up, then it'll fall
that's
apart.
That's the right.
So
yeah.
Is there any input from Westbrook and KD on this move?
KD said that he
apparently
doesn't know that much about him, but he's done some research and he's happy about it.
So he got on Google.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened.
He knows what you know,
Google.
Charlie, basically.
Right.
That's
what you
dangerous.
Can read online.
Okay.
That is not good.
So he's not really a part of this decision.
I think they ran it by him, and he was like, all right, that sounds like a name.
Yeah. I mean, they gave him veto power, and he didn't not know the name, so why would you veto it?
If you're changing the coach to sort of appease these people, shouldn't they be – I mean, isn't that a lot of what they're doing here?
Yeah. No,
that's
so shouldn't
point.
shouldn't they be a
that's
part
a
of this?
Point.
I mean, because what you switch it up and then you're like, oh, this dude sucks. You know, like,
yeah,
right, Charlie. That's exactly the point. Because OKC, the future of OKC depends on whether or not Kevin Durant stays in OKC. So they should be doing everything in their power to make a situation where Kevin Durant loves OKC. And Russell Westbrook, for that matter.
Russell Westbrook.
So, yeah, I don't know how in the world you're staying Preston and you don't have dinner with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and say, even before you fire Scottie Brooks, and say, what do you guys need? Like, yeah. How can we make
Who's
this?
Who's the guy?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, it seems to me that the Scottie Brooks thing doesn't work, and maybe they won't ever throw him under the bus, but, you know, if Presti comes to them and says, I'm getting rid of this dude, unless you guys are really vehemently behind him, and since I'm getting rid of him, I want to bring in somebody that's going to take us to the next level, do you guys have any input on that?
Right. Who's that guy?
I mean, like, I don't know how that doesn't happen.
If I were them, I'd be GM plus Wussel and KD, and I mean, go to Great Wolf Lodge for the weekend. Just hang out and say, "Hey, what do you need?
Really,
what are
Great
you looking
Wolf?
For?
Why do you hate your players so much?"
Yeah, no, you know, I can see KD hitting the water slide, you know.
But see, this is the committee meeting I'm talking about. I assumed that they were in the room. I assumed that it was GM and the scouts and all these guys and KD.
You would think so.
And they're all sitting around with the names on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And that, right. And how did
who's on your 10? Who's on your 5?
How were they
work
not?
It down.
How were they not on that list?
That's what I'm saying.
And the really scary thing is, you know damn well Kevin Durant knows who Billy Donovan is. That he's saying something akin to "I don't really know that much about him" is just disingenuous, right? Which makes you think
maybe he's not that excited.
Right.
Yeah. He's just
because
not
he
that
knows
into
who
you.
Billy. But what he doesn't follow you. Basketball. He's Kevin Durant, right?
I mean, I think that this is the type of team that you can, you know, just roll the ball out and they're going to win 50 games.
Yeah, sure, I agree.
Everybody's healthy.
I agree.
You and I could coach that team to 50 wins.
Oh. But what matters is what happens basically in the month of May, right? What we're seeing now is, and this is when coaches really, really matter.
And
right?
Goaltenders. Oh,
right.
Wait. Sorry. It's a hockey thing.
Yeah, that's right. You get a hot goalie, you're going to win the NBA title. It's just, that's the way it is.
Frickin' Crawford.
And that's where Billy Donovan has zero, like, he hasn't even come close to gaining that experience, right? I mean, and you're going to let him go through one or two playoff series to gain that sort of experience?
Right. Waste a couple years.
On the fly, while you're just wasting Kevin Durant's prime, and then he's going to bounce and play with John Wall in Washington. It's going to be great for me.
That is going to be so great for you. Oh, this actually worked out really
well
for
We're going to Washington.
What's so aggravating about this to me is that, forget the team for a second. Think about that city. Think about what Mark Jackson brings to that city. The heartland, right?
Yeah.
This is the Bible Belt, and what that guy brings. And look, his players aren't that much different. Kevin Durant, I don't know if he's a religious guy or not, but I know that he's down with the power positive thought, right? And this is the kind of thing that Mark Jackson brings. And how they missed him on this choice is just baffling. For a venal, unproven guy like Billy Donovan, it's messed up. And like I said, if they do succeed, it'll make me like the NBA less.
Well, let's just see if Billy keeps the job. You know, it's only been 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
So he might change his mind.
72-hour.
By the time this podcast goes
out.
Yeah. So. All right. Should we bounce up out of here?
Probably. Is there anything that you feel like you need to say before we get out of here that you need to bring up, or you have comments as a fan?
Oh, man. I love it. I get pretty excited listening to it. Keep it going. Keep the analysis going.
So you're saying we don't need to change. We're awesome. We don't need to get better.
I think you're pretty rock solid. I think, you know, provide drinks for the listeners. And,
All right.
I don't know.
Right. So like cookies and punch type thing?
I like punch and pie, but, you know.
That's like the next wave in internet radio. Is
4D radio.
That's 4, right. 4D podcast.
Gifts for the listener.
I want cupcakes with sprinkles.
Swag with every show.
Luckily, we only
That's
have
gonna
like
be our new tagline. Swag with every show.
Luckily, we only have like 10 listeners, so it'll be like affordable for this to happen.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
And does anyone have Colson's credit card number?
That's right.
I got a and company card.
Bud Light Platinum ships everywhere in the States, right?
So like, only in only in aluminum cans.
I'm in charge of the lead paint. You're in charge of the Bud Light Platinum. Done and done.
Done and done.
Perfect.
In the meantime, you can check us out. We're on the interwebs at theunbeatables.com. We have a Twitter account at Unbeatables, I think. We're on the Facebooks, facebook.com/theunbeatables. Charlie has a t-shirt that he rocks.
You know, actually, Charlie's wife, Tara, is currently rocking an Unbeatables t-shirt.
Nice.
And Belle's in her Pacers vintage shirt right now.
That's right. Right, little Belle. So, I don't know. You want to take us out of here? Whew. For our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
What do I have to pay you to do that every
day? I was going
to
say, be careful. Solid. You're going to steal my job.
Yes.
Yeah, of course he just got fired. That was the only thing that we had him on the show for.
Sorry, boss.
Clearly in a question. You are not invited ever again.
I'm out.
Charlie definitely practiced that in the shower every day. Yeah. Just
good acoustics in the sunroom.
Carport, yeah. It's very carport. Fancy over here.
It's a carport? Is that where you guys are going?
Yeah, that's
from?
How we roll. We're keeping it real, man.
That's right.
Real low.
Keeping it real in the carport.
That's like 10% real. Do we need to talk about Billy Donovan, or are we bouncing?
I don't know. Do we briefly mention it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have feelings on that. How much of that was KD inspired?
Oh, so you can't do it like that.
No,
can't do it.
You've got to set up it. You got to set it up. So go ahead. Why don't you bring it up?
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.